Usually when we think of resistance, I know I do, one of the first things I see is the fist, you know, the symbol of resistance. We must resist, we have to resist all of the terrible things in this world. When I started thinking about it, and that's my process, I just let the idea, the concept, the theme just sort of settle into me and see what rises up. And I am a thinker usually who's in non-traditional, a little outside the box. And I immediately started thinking about other kinds of resistance, not just pressure or an action that is sort of angry sometimes. I thought of the other kinds of resistance and other aspects of the idea of resistance. I realized, too, that these days in thinking about resistance, the action of resisting the terrible things in this world, I feel kind of tired. Anybody else there yet? There's so much going on all the time. There's a part of me that just feels weary about having to resist anything. Like all of you, I wish for the most basic things in this life. And I always wonder why we are not living in a world where we have the most basic things, like kindness and no homelessness and all the things you know I'm talking about. And because of what happened this past week, our beloved George took his own life, I thought a lot about just wanting our kids to be okay. Just like the most basic thing, just wanting our kids to be okay. Yesterday was my daughter's 21st birthday, and so I sort of felt like, oh, I don't really have children anymore. I mean, of course I do, but there's something about 21 that is mentally a turning point in life. But I, you know, I have, for those of you who know me, I have three adult children, 21, 28, and 30. I just want these young people, all of our young people, because they are all of ours, I want them to inherit a world where they are safe and where they feel a genuine sense of hope. It's like the simplest thing in the world, right? How come it seems so hard sometimes? I don't want our young people to die in a bar fire on New Year's Eve. I don't want it to happen when they are happy, they're celebrating. I don't want them to die by their own hand the way George did because they can't figure out where they belong in this world. I do not want them to be killed by a shooter while they're studying for their final exams in college. I don't want young people to have to worry that they might get dragged away by some monstrous government official because of their country of origin or the color of their skin. I want our kids to be okay. I want desperately for them to inherit the world that they deserve. And because I want all of those things for our kids, I feel like all of you, I'm guessing, a sense of obligation to continually put up resistance to all of the forces of oppression in our world, big and small. But I understand too, and this is really where my thinking went this week, that there is a very important soft underside of resistance, and it's actually rest. You can think of it in the same terms that we use when we are trying to build strength in our bodies, if you've ever done any of that kind of work, weightlifting, or just generally doing the work of resistance training. The strength in the body is built during the rest, not during the exertion. And it actually happens in a really interesting way. When muscle fibers are stressed under a load, they experience these microscopic tears. And during the resting phase, the body repairs those fibers, and in the repair process, they become stronger and more resilient and more capable of bearing more weight. Are most of you familiar with that idea? That really, the downtime in training and getting a stronger body is as important as the actual lifting of weights and motion. And so that's what I thought of when I thought about resistance this week, the downtime. Because if the resting phase is skipped, the body does not grow stronger. It actually continually breaks down. The discipline is not the endless effort. The discipline is actually the rhythm, knowing when to resist and when to be quiet, letting the tears repair so that you can return to the work. We also, and I believe this is critical, we need to be very careful about knowing what to resist and what to accept. So it's a very important part of the process, the spiritual action of resistance, to observe the reactions that we have to the things that we resist and to think very clearly about how we choose to spend our energy. A lot of times we resist things, especially change, simply because it makes us uncomfortable. Humans, we all know this by now, if nothing else, are really, really, really creatures of habit. We love our comfort zones, we create them, we work hard to create them, and change is often very scary, and so we resist. It's probably the reason why the book The Big Orange Splot is one of my favorites, because it's expected that Mr. Plumbean is going to paint over the splot and return everything to the status quo in the neighborhood. I love that he took the time to think about it. He thought about his dreams, and then he took the giant risk of bringing them to life. He rested, and then he did the new work. And that gave permission to everyone else in the neighborhood to do the same thing. Something changed, and he had to decide, do I resist this, or do I embrace it? And in truth, and you probably maybe know this, I've been working in the religious / spiritual / church, whatever you want to call it, world for over a decade now. What I have found is that there's a great deal of resistance very often in religious organizations, resistance to change. I always joked, everyone came in and sat in the exact same spot every single Sunday. I don't know if that's true here, we'll find out, but I do know it's true everywhere else I've been. And I've always thought it to be kind of ironic because the very people who should be the most open to discovery and wonder and driven forward by curiosity in life into the unknown turn out to be the ones who very often cling to habits and familiarity. It's just human nature, but it's so important that we subject ourselves to a process of discernment on an ongoing basis when it comes to resistance, especially when it comes to change. It's very important that we think clearly about what's going on. Why am I resistant to this thing? What am I feeling inside my body? Is this helpful or not? It's been an interesting week for me, just starting to learn the lay of the land around here, meeting new people, hearing more especially about the building project that's in the works and seeing the thinking behind that and the energy behind it. And it really occurred to me in this time of listening that the creation of something new, a new idea or a new building, whatever it might be, is in and of itself a form of resistance. I really think that that's what's going on. It can be a form of resistance. And in this case, I think what this wonderful group of humans here is saying is we reject the narrative that this world is falling apart. We reject it. And we're going to create something new as proof of that. We reject the narrative that young people don't care about spiritual communities anymore. And here's what that looks like to us. Resistance doesn't have to look like a fight. It can look like a beautiful new building full of hope and promise. And that feels pretty good. In a world that some days feels like it's going mad, it feels pretty darn good to be part of a project that's about resistance in the positive sense of the word. So here's what I'd like you to take with you, hopefully, when you leave here today. I always like to hopefully plant a seed for future thought. When it comes to resistance, the quiet underside is what I like to call it of resistance, where things take root during the resting phase, is so important. We cannot be out there fighting all the time. There absolutely must be the downtime to build the strength back up. There is a time for resistance and there is a time for rest. To everything, there is a season. The necessary discernment as part of resistance to know if what I'm resisting is about me and my comfort, is it helpful that I'm resisting this idea, plan, whatever the case is? Is it helpful or am I creating unnecessary friction? There are times to resist and there are times to support. To everything, there is a season. And a time for every purpose under heaven. The neighbors thought that Plumbine had gushed his mush, lost his marbles, and slipped his hauser. But in the end, he and his neighbors found their bliss in building the new thing that reflected exactly who they are. Our street is us, they said. It is where we like to be, and it looks like all of our dreams. And that is a wonderful, wonderful example of some very beautiful, life-affirming, positive energy, resistance in action. So moving through this month, as we move from week to week, let's think about those things, all the different aspects of resistance, not just the most obvious one.